You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Yes, Andrew Little joined me again this week for our regular chat. We spoke about the Baisley report into allegations of sexual harassment at law firm Russell McVeigh and the Criminal Cases Review Commission. I began by asking Andrew what he thought of the Baisley report.
Look, it's pretty disturbing. I'm just stunned and actually somewhat embarrassed as a member of the legal profession myself that other lawyers, senior lawyers, could conduct themselves in that way and think that it was ever okay. I mean, and as an employment lawyer myself, I look at that. How could anybody doing at least what a partner and a senior solicitor were alleged to have done or found to have done could ever be regarded as a good or healthy practice in any workplace, much less a law firm? So it was. I found it personally disturbing to read that. And it does. Look, I think the point is too that it won't be confined to Ross McVeigh. It is probably true to say that there is a culture in our broader legal profession that tolerates that sort of behaviour. And to all those who have called it out now, they're right to do so. And it's we've got to make the change. The legal profession has to make the change.
Do you feel the consequences are adequate for those who are found to have sexually harassed people within the legal profession?
Yeah, look, reading the Baisley report, it wasn't clear to me whether actually this went beyond sexual harassment, for which you'd normally use an internal harassment grievance procedure to deal with. This looked like it bordered on criminal activity. But it wasn't treated as that way, and as far as I'm aware, no complaint had been laid with the police. Equally, I don't know whether it happened in these cases, but I know in other cases complaints have been made to the Law Society, which has been found to not have responded properly or well to these sorts of complaints. And I know even as recently as this morning, there's a call for the Law Society to have kind of stepped up powers. I'm certainly keen to see what I as Minister of Justice need to do in relation to the Law Society.
Will you be meeting with them at all?
I will, yeah. I mean, I last met with them probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago before the report came out. I haven't met with them since the Baisley report came out. But I have to say, I'm equally concerned. I wouldn't want lawyers to think that they can have their own special procedure inside the Law Society, which is free from a kind of open public scrutiny. Mm. I don't see why lawyers conducting themselves in this way shouldn't be subject to, if not the criminal justice system, then at least the same system of the Employment Relations Authority, Employment Court, or the Human Rights Commission that anybody else conducting themselves in that way would have to face. So I think, the big challenge, I think, is the culture change. The Law Society needs to be to lead that and to be responsible for that. But in terms of procedures, which employees of law firms, whether they're staff solicitors or support staff in law firms, they need to know there is a procedure they can use without fear and take up behaviour like this.
Will anything come from the government in the wake of this and sort of possibly giving more powers to the Law Society or implementing some legislation?
I think we know that the Law Society has got their own review underway with Dame Sylvia Cartwright. I'm keen to see what comes out of that report. And once we've had the benefit of both the Baisley report and the Cartwright report, then I think it is incumbent on me as Minister of Justice to then consider what appropriate response might be taken. There's no question in my view that that something does have to be done so that employees of law firms, and for that matter, professional services firms generally, know that they can deal with this sort of behaviour that they're confronted with, and they can get a meaningful result as a consequence. It's not, I think what the Baisley report pointed out too is just that culture of fear that goes with this, and that is the same in a lot of workplaces. People are afraid to step up because they don't know what it means for their future job prospects or career prospects. And I think, certainly in law firms, there's the sort of expectation that new entrants to the law profession will engage in what I describe as self-exploitation. They just have to put up with a lot of shit, frankly.
Yeah.
And we've got to get past that. That's not the right way to treat people.
And moving on, the Criminal Cases Review Commission will possibly be going to Cabinet for approval soon. Can you talk about the commission a bit?
Yeah. So this is, we've seen these miscarriage of justice cases, they come to the fore on a reasonably kind of regular, if not infrequent, basis. And the late, I guess the classic is Taina Pora, 20 years in jail for a crime he clearly didn't commit. Mm. All the alarm bells were ringing much earlier on, but he still did that time before it was called out. We have a process called the Royal Prerogative of Mercy, so once you've in the criminal justice system, once you've exercised all your appeal rights and you still consider you've been wrongfully convicted, you use this Royal Prerogative of Mercy process. The problem with the Royal Prerogative of Mercy is that we've got very hard-working, well-meaning senior officials in the Ministry of Justice, but unless one of them is available to pick up the file and do the work on it or brief it out to somebody, they can sit around for a matter of years before a person who uses that process gets some sort of result. So this is about being more methodical about it, systematising it, accepting that the criminal justice system will get it not just wrong, but seriously wrong in some cases, even after all appeal rights have been exhausted, and we have to have an open and transparent process that deals with that. So the Criminal Cases Review Commission is the way of doing that. It's modelled on what is happening in England and Scotland and Norway. Those three jurisdictions all have one. We're looking particularly at the Scottish one because it's about the, kind of the same size as I would expect. Mm. And it just means we dedicate some people and resources to the job of looking at claims of miscarriage of justice so that people can, you know, get an independent, thoroughgoing investigation into it and a result.
And you've had to push back taking the proposal to Cabinet for a few months. Why is this?
Oh, it was more the start time of it. So I certainly had been keen for it to be starting in the early part of next year, just with the work that we've done on it, and we've done a couple of rounds of consultation to get feedback from those in the your stakeholders and those in the sector. That feedback has been very helpful, but it has indicated that, you know, some of the critical issues, you know, what is the threshold you have to meet before an investigation starts, what would be the powers of the commission. Mm. There's been more differences of view over those sorts of things than I had anticipated. So, like I've just said, let's just push that out to July next year, which is now that kind of new target date for it to be up and operating.
And cost also seems to be a problem with no money set out in the budget for such a commission. Where would the money come from, and what sort of estimate do you have for it?
I think the issue was that because we weren't expecting to start till next year, we wouldn't, and it was only if we're going to operate in, if we started it earlier, it'd only operate at the very end of the financial year. The expectation was that the kind of transition funding would be funded out of the Ministry of Justice, which it may still will be as well, but it was felt better that if we did push it out, knowing that we are going to be later starting it anyway because of the issues that have come up, let's make it part of the budget bid for 2019, so that is clear. But look, all the parties of government are committed to the establishment of a Criminal Cases Review Commission. It's in the coalition agreement between Labor and New Zealand First. So we're totally committed to it. It is all just a question of timing. In terms of cost, we're kind of expecting that it'll be roughly the same as the Independent Police Conduct Authority. They deal with a different volume of cases and has a different focus. But in terms of staffing and operation, I imagine it'll be close to that. Their budget is just under $4 million, so it'll be something in that order.
And are all the parties okay with that? No one sees it as an extravagant cost?
No, I think everybody understands that's the likely kind of magnitude of the cost. I think everybody agrees we need to have this. It is about just adding a level of sophistication and a safety valve to our criminal justice system that is long overdue, and that we need. And it's interesting talking to judges, certainly senior judges, they're all saying, you know, we're totally comfortable with this because actually we don't get it right 100% of the time, and it is useful to have this added safety valve in terms of making sure justice is done.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.